You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
February, two F-17, F-117 stealth bombers, each dropped a 910-kilogram, that is a 2,000-pound, GBU-27 laser-guided bomb on the shelter. And they used, we must take into consideration that this shelter had a roof that was made of concrete, steel, and mesh. And it had a ventilation duct, and they guided these laser bombs through these ventilation ducts. And as they entered, they drilled their way into the facility, into the bomb shelter. Imagine on the top floor, where people were preparing the food and the kitchens were there. And the next thing is these bombs, they hit the water tanks that were supplying water to the whole facility. And the tanks burst, and this water started flowing out and flooding the bottom floor, flooded the top floor. And in the process, with the heat that was generated by these laser bombs, the two steel doors that were wide open slammed shut. And it is said that the water temperature within the bomb shelter rose to a phenomenal 400 degrees Celsius. You can imagine the boiling point is 100 degrees Celsius, and this was three times more. And the result was that the 450 people who were trapped in the bomb shelter frankly boiled to death, and many melted away also. In fact, we had an opportunity in 2003 to visit this Al-Amariya bomb shelter when we went to Iraq. And Shafat, it's just heartrending to see that, in fact, there are some survivors who lost their children are acting as guides at the shelter. And when they tell you how fortunate they were that this one lady who was a guide, she said she went to go and get something from her house, and before she came, this incident took place, and the doors were shut, so she could not enter, and she lost 9 of her children in this incident, Shafat Ahmad. And this was the situation. In fact, the Americans who were responsible for the decision to target the Al-Amariya Center admitted that they thought that the Al-Amariya Center had been used as a civil defense shelter during the Iran-Iraq war. Now, the status that this shelter had was that it was a civilian center for safeguarding the civilians, and the Americans say that their satellite and their intelligence conceded that agreed that this was used as a command center by Saddam Hussein and his military generals, and that was the reason they bombed this facility. But the investigations by independent investigators and the United Nations, as the information was coming through and verified, confirmed that this was a civilian bomb shelter and was used by civilians only, men, women, and children. And the Americans had wrong intelligence regarding this, but I think this may have been a deliberate attempt to target Saddam Hussein and create an atmosphere for war. We know that within the next 9 or 10 years after 1991, the pressure that was put upon Saddam with the WMDs and to create a war, which turned out to be a lie, that Saddam had no weapons of mass destruction. We always said it; these were worth millions of dollars to attack Iraq, and the result was it developed and it turned into this annexation of Iraqi oil supplies audit facilities, and until today, the United States of America didn't have the capacity to say that we are sorry for this destruction of the people.
Yeah.
And killing of 450 people. They could not apologize that these were innocent people who were preparing to celebrate their Eid. And Fajr time in the morning at 4:30, after keeping the making sari, they were killed. And in this dastardly manner, you know, of bombing the facility and then the water boiling to such a degree that they had no chance of escaping whatsoever. And this is the tragedy, I think. We must remember that this took place in Iraq, in fact, before the start of the war on terror and the WMD, the accusation against Saddam Hussein. Chief.
Yes, Abu, you know, you make a very graphic picture come through there. And as you said, you know, I don't even think they even gave a reparation on things like that. And you also alluded to the fact of WMD, the weapons of mass destruction. And that too, you know, they look for every possible excuse. And suddenly they're linked to Saddam Hussein with Osama bin Laden, who at that time was forgotten. And I remember a big newspaper caption. Osama been forgotten, and suddenly they brought him into the equation, and then they worked Saddam Hussein out, and they had him. You know, that court case is, if you go through YouTube and all, you can see that court case and how Saddam Hussein addresses the judge, and the judge looks like a callous, you know, uncaring human being, and they, you know, sentencing Saddam Hussein to death, and Saddam Hussein standing up to them and giving them his, you know, what's in his heart. And, you know, his speech was so full of emotion that it got, I think, many Muslims really sad. And, you know, I think when they put the noose around his neck, and his last words were, you know, Allahu Akbar, Abu.
Gee, and I think we've got to put it into context, you know. When the Persian, when the Iran-Iraq war took place, you must remember that Saddam Hussein was a Sunni, a Tikriti, and he was ruling over a majority Shia population. And when Khomeini came into Iran, he gave an instruction to the Iraqi Shia sect that now you must take power. And if we put all this and put the puzzle together, we come to realize that where this all started from and what is the attack on Sunni Islam. And Saddam was just one of those targets. And Shafat Ahmad, if you see the city of Baghdad, Najaf, and Tikrit, these were beautiful cities, very highly developed and everything. And with this war, they destroyed practically Baghdad. I tell you, what a city it was. It was one of the most highly developed cities in the Middle East. You know, nothing compared to what Dubai and now all these big buildings are. And the situation came about after the fall of Saddam Hussein, the American companies, you know, Halliburton and all of them took control of the whole country, and they got contracts to rebuild these cities. And you can imagine that paints that were being factories that were in Iraq were destroyed, and paint had to be imported from America, and the prices that were being charged, and Iran had to pay for its own reparations. And the only way it could get money, because the Iraqi dinar collapsed, and the only other way they could pay was to hand over the oil fields in Tikrit and other areas to the Americans. And till today they are enjoying it with the Shias supporting them, and now they are in power, Shafat Ahmad.
Yeah, there's also, you know, the videos going around where Benjamin Netanyahu, I mean, I think you sent that to me, Abu, where he's claiming to have a very cordial relationship with the Shiites and Iran. And, you know, there's lots of things being unfolded. And, you know, it seems like the Muslim world is really being taken for a ride, Abu. You know, they're playing chess games with us. May Allah must save us and open stay, we stay on the straight and safe and narrow. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. Your parting words this evening, Abu?
Yeah, Allah ta'ala make it easy. You know, I think we are in a situation where the challenges are growing bigger and bigger, and our only refuge is turning to our deen. And Allah ta'ala make it easy that we open the doors of hidayat for the Muslim ummah to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think in that is our salvation, because if we go to look at the materialistic way that the West is asking the world to adopt, we will end up being slaves of these people who really destroyed the Muslim Khilafah system. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will safeguard us if we are sincere, because Allah Ta'ala does not change the condition of people if they do not change that which is within themselves. And I think this is the challenge for the Muslim Ummah. Jazakallah for having us, Shafadamad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Always a pleasure having you, Abu Bakr, and your knowledge just flows. And alhamdulillah, really, you know, we'll bring you on more often on the slot, inshallah. You have a blessed evening ahead. Time for us to go to the marketplace. And inshallah, when we get back, we'll be going on to our segment called The Travelers Express with Ibrahim Vardacha. Let's go do some shopping.